This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment, amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment are يتقارب الأسواق ويتقارب الزمان, meaning the marketplace will come close to each other, will come near, and also the time also will be يتقارب, means it will come closer together. Meaning, some of the scholars have mentioned that during the final days of this world, when it's near the Day of Judgment, the lack of blessings in the time that we have will be very significant. So much so that a year will be like a month will be like a week, and a week will be like a day. And a day will be like an hour. And an hour in the Arabic language doesn't mean 60 minutes. It just means a short amount of time. So this is amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, amongst the signs are that the marketplace will come near. Well, we see that nowadays, that the marketplace is very, very near. In fact, it's in front of you all the time. Most of us, when we're walking around, when you're walking, and even when you're at home, in a normal, an average day, a person, I don't know what the stats are in the UK, but in America, a normal person sees around 3,000 ads in a day. That means there's somebody telling you what to buy, what you need, and so forth, 3,000 times a day. It's either in the billboards, it's either in somebody's shirt, on the television, or other places. But in the average day, you're bombarded with 3,000 adverts every single day. So the time or the marketplace will come near, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And how near can you get? You might say, well, how about eBay? It's just right there. Anytime you need something, you're right there. But even more than that, you know, on the television, every single time you watch TV, you'll see the adverts coming in front of you all the time, telling you to buy this and buy that. So the marketplace has come into your house. The marketplace has come into your house. Also the time, يتقارب الزمان, the time will also be close by, near, meaning some of the scholars have interpreted this to be lack of blessings in the time. And so the times that we are living in now, we have so many devices. We have so many things that are supposed to be time-saving. We have microwaves, which help us to cook much faster. We have cell phones. We have all kinds of things that are supposed to save time. The only thing we don't have is time. The only thing we don't have, it seems, is time. The time goes so quickly. And so that's why it's very important in our time to make sure that we take advantage of the time that we do have, to fully take advantage of that, because first of all, because of the lack of blessing, and secondly, because of the preciousness of time. Every one of us, we are in this world, the thing that we have in this life that is our capital is the time that we have. The capital that we have in order to do good deeds. You know, when you're talking to a businessman, one of the most important things that he'll mention to you, he'll speak about the capital in order to start a business. Because the more capital you have, the more you can do good. And that's why as a Muslim, you always want to take full advantage of that time. And that's why it's not permissible for us to seek to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to die. Unless, you know, you don't just straight out say, Ya Allah, you know, I don't want to live anymore, I just want to die. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't do that, because if you are someone who is righteous and pious, then you want to extend that time so you can increase your good deeds. And if you're someone who is not pious, then you want more time so you can return to Allah and do good. So you never want to ask to end your life. And if you have to, the pain is so great, then you say, Oh Allah, if it is better for me, if it is better for me to die right now, then bring it forward. And if it isn't, then prolong my life. But you don't just say, I would like to die right now. Yeah. And so also when you're making dua and supplicating for somebody for long life, never say, may Allah increase your life, or may Allah prolong your life, may Allah give you a long life. As Muslims, we shouldn't just say that straight out. What you should say is, may Allah prolong your life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and prolongs your life, and you have a long life, but it is not in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's not going to benefit you. It is not going to benefit you. And so, there are things that we have to take advantage of, because we know that everybody knows that the time that we have, you have time in which you're able to do things. And you know that later on you might not be able to do those things. For example, if you're not married yet, you don't have the responsibilities of taking care of your spouse and your children, then you're going to have more time to do other things. You can do things now, if you're not married yet, that you can't do after you get married. And so take advantage of the time that you are not busy. Because when the time does come, there are things that you will want to do, but you will not have time to do them. So every minute, every second that you have, take advantage and try to make the time that you have fruitful. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of five things before five. And he said, حياتك قبل موتك. Your life before you die. وصحتك قبل سقمك. And your health before you become sick. وفراغك قبل شغلك. And your free time before you are preoccupied. And وشبابك قبل حرمك. And your youth before you become old. وغناك قبل فقرك. And when you, as your wealth before you become destitute or become poor. And so taking advantage of the time that we have, the value of the time, people don't realize the true value of time. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in hadith in Sahih Bukhari from Ibn Abbas, he said, نَعْمَتَانْ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغِ. There are two blessings that people are maghboon. What does maghboon mean? Two blessings that people do not know the true value of such. When you say maghboon, it means if somebody buys something from you and you don't know the true value of that object. Let's say you have an antique object, or an antique, maybe it might be a painting, a couplet, whatever it is that you have, it might be worth £3,000. So you yourself found this in your attic, and you didn't know that it was worth £3,000. And so you have your yard sale or whatever you have in the summers, and you bring it out, and some guy comes and he sees that you have put £15 on that. You put £15 on that, and he knows it's at least £3,000. He comes, and you think he's going to buy it or not? He'll immediately take it. Once he takes it, let's say he's taken that, and then your father realizes that, you know, hey, you just sold that for £15. Did you know that your grandmother, this is something that's antique that we saved up over there, that is worth £3,000, and you just sold it for £15. How do you feel? You feel, even if you knew, you didn't know it, so you might not feel as bad, right? Well, even though you do feel bad, because you sort of like you've been cheated. But you should have done your homework. You should have looked that up, or asked at least what the true price of that is. But what if this is a kid? This is a child that's inheriting. So you call that person maghboon also, because he doesn't know the true value of that. And he just got, you know, he was just sort of like almost cheated already. But Maghbun is even more than that. It's like a child. A child that inherits, let's say the child has parents, and his parents have passed away. All of a sudden, he has inherited his house, the Mercedes, and all this wealth that he has by himself. That's his wealth. But his parents have already passed away, so he's an orphan. So a man comes to him and says, he says, son, you know, if you give me the keys, and you give me the keys to that Mercedes, you know, I'll give you this bag of chocolate. And so the little kid goes, chocolate? You're going to give me the whole bag? Wow. It's like, you're going to give the whole, really? You're going to give me the whole bag? For that? He'll go, because his life is toys and chocolate and candy and things like that. That's what he's concerned about. And so you give him the chocolate and you take the Mercedes. What's happened to that child? That child just got cheated. He just sold something worth maybe 20,000, more than 20,000 pounds, and he just gave a bag of chocolate. If he would have sold that, he could have bought all the chocolate in the city. Right? But he doesn't know that. He's cheated. He's maghboon. Because he doesn't know the true value of that. Just wasted it. Of course, in Islam, you can't do that. It's haram. That transaction is invalid anyways. Because you have to have approval of the awliya or his guardians. But I mean, if something like that were to happen, you would say this baby or this child was maghboon. And so all of us, many people, the Prophet ﷺ said, نِعْمَتَانْ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Many, most of the people, there are two blessings in which كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ, Allah, most of the people are maghboon. Meaning they do not know the true value of what they have. And that is as-sihha wal-faraag. Health and free time. Health and free time. Health, you know, you don't really know the true value of health until you really lose it. And that's why the Arabs, they say, they have a saying. And it says, as-sihha tutajun ala ru'us al-as-sihha la yarahu illa al-marda. The health is, being healthy is like a crown on the heads of all of those who are not sick. The only people who see this crown though are the sick people. They see this crown, they see this, how great the blessing of health, being healthy is. And also the time that we have, the faragh, the time, the free time that we have. This time that we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about every second and every minute that we spend in this life. Whatever we do, we are accountable for it. We're accountable. And if you're accountable, the thing is, let's say you are hired to do a job. You're hired to do a job. If you know that nobody's watching, let's say you might be in front of your computer, right? And you have to do a job. By the way, you know, most people at work, they spend 40% of the time not working. So out of 40% of the time that people spend on the desk or in the office, they spend 40% of the time on the internet. I mean, either it's on Facebook or whatever it is, you know, that they're doing. 40% of the time, that's 60% maybe they're working. But they're supposed to be working the whole time. But 40% of the time, most people don't work. This is according to some of the stats that some of these news organizations have put up. And so anyways, if you were to sit down and you knew that every second that you are in front of your desk, you're accountable for. Now, if you know that your boss doesn't know, maybe you might go on Facebook or something, right? Or you might, you know, be chatting away with somebody for a little bit, or off the side, you know, like, just answer somebody, just IM'd you, or hit you up, and then you just respond to them. But what if somebody had a camera on you all the time, and you know your boss is watching you the whole time? Would you be doing those things? You wouldn't be doing those things. But you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on this earth to worship Him. And worshiping Allah means you do all that you can to please Him. And you stay away from all that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the thing is, these, you know, the cameras and so forth, there's nothing like the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sees us and hears us no matter where we are. So we have to be conscious that the time that we spend, Allah will ask us about them, about every single minute that we live. And so your boss might not know when you're not working, or when you're not fulfilling your duties. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always knows. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will ask, and this is a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. He said, did we not give you long enough life to a long enough life that نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. That a person who really wants to be reminded, or a person who really wants to do good and be reminded, has enough time to do so. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. And also, a warner has come to you. A warner has come to you also. Some of the scholars, some of the companions, like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, the warner has come to you. He said, that's a shayb. Meaning, when you have gray hair. You know, when your hair is turning gray, that's a warning that you're getting old. That's a warning that you're getting old. And this is something that is a reminder for us. And so when you see like these grays coming up, that means, you know, you're closer to the grave. Allah subhanahu has given you enough time. All that time, you better be good. And so take advantage of that time that you have to do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also reward those who take advantage of the time that they have. In the Day of Judgment, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an in Surah Al-Haqqah, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. He said, eat and drink, and enjoy yourselves, بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Because of what you did in the past days, in the time that you spent, in other words, in the time that you spent in this life. So how we spend our time, how we make use of our time, will determine what we will have in the hereafter. And you know, a lot of us, many, you know, most of us, everybody, we want to work and we want to have as much money as we can so that we can retire early, right? We can have our vacations and retire early. You don't have to worry about your job and things like that, right? But you know, the true believer, works for that also. But he works for the retirement that doesn't end. And when you retire, you're not old. What's the true retirement? It's when you enter paradise. And that's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he used to memorize, he said, I memorized a million hadith. Like you memorize قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Like how you guys memorize قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Like how much, that's how much he memorized. So imagine how much time he spends in reading, memorizing, and also teaching and learning. So Imam Ahmad, his son Abdullah, saw how he was working so hard that he never took any breaks. It seems like he never took any breaks. So he felt sorry for his father, and he said, "Father, aren't you going to stop and take a break?" In other words, he said, aren't you going to rest, you know, take a break, have a vacation or something like that? Just take a break. He says, the time I would take a break, I'll take my vacation when I take my first step into paradise. And that's when I'll do it. Because that's the real life, when you enter paradise. And so, this life right here, is the life that we are living, it's a test. It's very short. The time that we have, it's shorter than the people before even. The people before, they used to live thousands and thousands of years. Like Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he made da'wah alone 950 years. And so they lived in the thousands. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the companions of how the people before, they used to fast for 1,000 years, they used to pray for 1,000 years, they used to go in jihad for 1,000 years, they would do this and that for 1,000 years. And the companions asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, I mean, how are we going to catch up to these people? How are we going to catch up to these people when they did all of that? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we revealed it in the Laylatul Qadr, in the night of decree or the night of power. This is in Ramadan, Allah SWT revealed the Qur'an. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ And do you know what Laylatul Qadr is? Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. That means one night of worship, you're going to get 83, at least approximately 80 something, over 80 years of worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a shorter lifespan, but He has given us more opportunities to do good. I mean, He has given us more opportunities to multiply our deeds. So if you were to spend just 11 years, every year you look for Laylatul Qadr, you would have the 1,000 years. In about 10 to 12 years, you would have that much of deeds. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon this ummah. He has given us a short amount of time. And there are many deeds that we can do to multiply our good, to multiply and magnify the deeds that we do, the reward that we get. And that's why some of the deeds, like one such hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you pray in congregation, pray in jama'ah, and you sit in your place where you prayed, remembering Allah, and remembering the reading of Qur'an in the remembrance of Allah, until the sun rises, and then you pray 2 rak'ah. This is 2 rak'ah al-duha. You will get the reward of Hajj and Umrah. Making Hajj and Umrah. So that you might say, well, how is it going to be equal to Hajj and Umrah? When you go make Hajj and Umrah, you have to spend so much money just to go. You have to spend so much time just to do it. And you have to also exert a lot of effort because you're going back and forth and it's tiring. You lose sleep and you don't eat well. You're traveling, you're tired. You're going to get the same reward for praying these 2 rak'ahs with these conditions? Maybe we doubt. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Tammatin, tammatin, tam." He said, completely, completely, completely. And you will get the full reward, the full reward, the full reward. Just in case you doubt, he repeated it 3 times. He repeated it 3 times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a shorter lifespan. The time that we have, and the free time that we have, we might have less, but you can make more use of it. And you can get more rewards also. So that's why the free time that we have is even more significant. It's more significant, and it's more valuable because we can do so many things. And you know, if we ourselves, how do we ourselves take advantage of this though? How do we take advantage of the time that we have? You know, when we're so busy, sometimes we get caught up in things, doing this and doing that, and we end up at the end of the day, you realize, wow, you know, subhanAllah, it's already 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and it seems like I haven't done anything. Or, you know, it's time to go to sleep and I haven't done anything yet. How do we ourselves, living in this society in which, you know, everything is happening left and right and we're so busy with so many things, just to survive in this society, there's so many things happening that it seems like the time passes away and we haven't done anything. What do we do to take advantage of the, you know, in such a lifestyle? First of all, we have to realize that one of the most important things and the most beloved deeds in the sight of Allah is consistency. Consistency in doing good deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Alaykum min al-a'mal ma tutiqun." Do that which you are able to do. In other words, what you're able to do consistently. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمِلْ حَتَّى تَمِلُّ Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be bored of, you know, unless you are. In other words, when you're tired, when you're doing too much, do that which you're able to do. And he said, وَإِنَّ حَبِّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا دُوِّمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلْ And Aisha radiallahu anha, she also mentioned another hadith. When she asked, what's the most beloved deeds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that which is consistent even if it's a small amount. That which is consistent even if it's a small amount. So what do we do? First of all, when you read about the companions, they always had deeds that they were consistent about. Like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, there are three things that when I heard from the Prophet, since the day I heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I never left it. In other words, I did it until this day, and I will do it again. I will continue to do it until the day that I die. And he said, and he mentioned, he said, 3 days of fasting in a month. Fasting 3 days, at least 3 days in a month. Praying 2 rak'ahs, or praying the witr prayer before I go to sleep. Praying the witr prayer before I go to sleep. And the 2 rak'ahs of duha in the morning. He said, from the day that I heard from my khalili, from my beloved, I never left it. But you know something. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he did much more than that. But that was his minimum requirement. That's something that he made a conviction to do for the rest of his life, consistently. Consistently. So there was never a day in the life of Abu Hurairah except that he prayed witr. There was never a day except that he prayed duha. And there never passed a month except that he fasted at least 3 days. You might think, well, that's not that difficult. Yes, it's not that difficult. But that was his conviction and minimum requirement. But he usually did much more than that. Because if you read the seerah or the biography of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he divided his nights in his house into three parts. And he, every moment of the night, when the sun set, there was always somebody praying in the house of Abu Hurairah. If he didn't start praying first, he would let his wife pray. And if that, or his slave, or whoever was in his house, they would take turns. So they would stand up and pray. And when they were tired, they would go to sleep. They would wake up the next person, and that person would pray. So there was never a moment in the house of Abu Hurairah at night time that somebody was not standing up praying. And every day it was like this. It was consistent. So he was consistent like that. And this is how we should be. You have to think about a deed. And there are many deeds, and this is something that will help us to be, you know, this is something that is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. There are varieties, there are different types. There are some people who love to fast. Alhamdulillah, that's good. There are some people who love to pray. And there are some people who are generous. And so you can do ibadah with all of these things. With your body, with your wealth. And you can take advantage of the time with many aspects of worship. And so choose a small amount of each. Like for example, reading the Qur'an. From now on, I want you, everyone here, before you leave or when you go home, you sit down and make a list. Think about reading the Qur'an. And put down what you are going to do from now on until the rest of your life. How much are you going to read of the Qur'an? Don't choose too much. Just say, for example, I'm going to read at least 3 ayats in a day. At least 3 ayats. But don't choose too much, because why 3 ayats? You can always do them, even on exam days. You know, on your busiest days, you can still put this into your schedule. So that you can be consistent with it for the rest of your life. At least 3 ayats. Or just say, okay, I'm going to memorize at least 1 ayat a day. At least 1 ayat. Or maybe at least 1 ayat every 3 days. I'm going to give in sadaqah at least maybe 1 pound or maybe 50 peas a day. Or whatever you're able to, but do it consistently. I'm going to visit somebody who's sick at least once a month, or at least once every 3 months. So you look at your list, and you look at it and you say, did I do this today? What are my daily tasks? Okay, I didn't do this. So you do not go to sleep until you finish it. Or maybe when you wake up in the morning, let me finish most of the stuff that's on this list. And you can finish most of this stuff when you're driving maybe. You know, when you're driving. or I'm going to memorize a hadith, or I'm going to sit down and read about Islam for at least 15 minutes a day. You know, some book, some Islamic book that will benefit me. Do something, make it consistent. Think of a deed that you can do even on the busiest days. And be consistent with that. And as soon as you're consistent with that deed, maybe you say, you know, I've done this for the last year or the last 2 years and I've been consistent with it. Yeah, let me just add another 3 ayats. Or let me just add another ayah. And you'll see that when you say, when you put your minimum requirement, like half a page of reading the Qur'an, you'll see that when you start reading, you won't read half a page. You'll read much more than that most of the time. But this is how you defeat the shaitan. And that's why it's more, that's why it's very, very rewarding. And this is something that is beloved in the sight of Allah. In fact, the best deeds, the Prophet ﷺ, خَيْرَ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The best deeds are that which is most consistent, even if it's just a small amount. So this is how you take advantage of your time, make use of your time, and its consistency. Even in the dunya matters. Like, you know, sometimes some of our room, the dorms that we have, that we live in, or our rooms at home, sometimes it's very dirty, right? You go home, and some of us, mashallah, some of us are very clean, alhamdulillah. But some of us, you know, we're a little bit lazy, and you have, you know, your homework over here, you have your textbooks over there, and it's like, hey, if you come in some one day and you say, oh, this is a mess. You know, how did it get to this stage? And you look at it and you're like, oh, you're going to spend so much time cleaning this up, and so you get lazy. So it stresses you out. Even stresses you out. You know, exam times, when you come into your room and it's clean, it's much easier. You feel more comfortable and you're ready to study. But when it's a big mess, it's like your mind is a mess also. You just look around and it's stressing you out. Let me tell you how to do things. If you want to do things, this is just one example. If you, before every time you come into your room, spend just one minute cleaning. Trust me, if you spend just 1 minute and you're consistent, not even 3 minutes, just 1 minute. But if you do it every time, exactly 1 minute, in you know, just in a day or two, you'll see that your room is clean. Or even less than that, in one day your room is clean. But every time you enter your room, make sure that 1 minute is there. You better clean for at least a minute before you sit down and turn on the computer, or before you sit down and read or do anything. Clean for 1 minute. Trust me, by the time the week is over, you will be looking for dust. You'll be looking for little pieces, and you'll start to, like, the next thing you know, you don't have anything to clean, but you know you have a minute. Right, you still have a minute. If you did it, if your room is a big mess, maybe you might put 3 minutes. It might be a little faster. But you know, if you just did this consistently, you will find that when I used to study in Medina, I used to do this, and I ended up at the end. You know, I ended up like wiping the books, looking for dust to wipe off, because every time I would come in, it's just a minute. And you know, when you think about a minute, it's not much. So you don't say, oh, a minute. No, it's a minute. It's only a minute. So you do it. But if you do it consistently, you'll see the effects of it. You'll see that it's different. And if you do this with your car also, you know, I do this also with my kids. Every time they get out of the car, they have to pick up three pieces of rubbish. Right? They have to pick up and they have to clean at least three things. So every time they come out, they have to pick up three. They know it already. So they're like, at the end, you know, because we go in and out of the car a lot, right? You know, you come into the, you go to the supermarket, you come out, hey, you guys, did you get your three pieces? All right, they know already. I don't have to ask anymore. They just go straight to the rubbish bin right away, and they'll just toss it in there before we enter the supermarket. But you see, the car is like clean. At the end of the day, sometimes, you know, my kids are fighting for rubbish. They're like, oh, that's mine. I got it first. I'm getting that. And see, they're like, they have their seatbelt on, right? So they can't get out yet. And so they're preparing. So they're looking already, but there's nothing there. And so they both see two pieces over there. That's mine. I called it, right? And if you do it consistently, your car will be super clean. Your room will be super clean. And this shows you that if you did the same thing with the deen, your iman also will be consistent. And your heart will be clean and pure. Because you're cleaning yourself and you're purifying every day by reading the Qur'an, by giving sadaqah. So this is just one thing that you can do to make use of the time that you have. So that you don't waste it. So every day, you're not wasting your time. And time is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by it over and over and over again. He swears by the morning, and then He swears by the night. He swears by the forenoon, then He swears by the afternoon. And He swears by time in general. And He says, wal asr, by the time. And you know, when Allah swears by something, it shows the significance and the importance of that thing. And so He says, "Innal insana lafi khusr." By the time, I mean, think about the time, reflect upon it. Indeed, all of mankind are in loss. In loss, meaning loss. No profit. They're in loss. Except illa alladhina amanu. Except for those who believe. They have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they also apply that. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they also advise each other in doing good. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they also advise each other in being patient. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, showing the importance of this verse. If a person takes care of his time, and does these things in their daily lives, doing good deeds, advising each other to do good deeds. And of course, when you start advising and applying Islam, you're going to get opposition. When you start calling people to Islam, then you have to advise each other in being patient. And you know what patience is? Patience in the Arabic language doesn't just mean the patience. It's not just the English word patience, how we understand it. Patience in the Arabic language consists of consistency also. Consistency. Patience in the Arabic language, and also you, when you do something consistent, it's also called sabr. As-sabr ala ta'a. Being patient in being consistent in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is so important that a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا. Tell me something in Islam that I can't ask anybody else. Meaning, tell me something special. Something that I get to hear, that I can maybe go to the next person. You know what? This is, nobody else can tell me this except for the Messenger of Allah. And He told me. Tell me something in Islam that is special. And so he said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. He said, say, I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. And then be upright consistently. Al-istiqama means being upright consistently. What do you mean, be upright consistently? Doing that which pleases Allah, even if it's a small amount, but doing it consistently. And that's how you take care and take advantage of the time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. The servant of Allah will continue to stand, and he will not move from this standing position on the day of judgment until he's asked about four things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه. The Prophet ﷺ said, he said, mentioned four things. Amongst the two things, he said about his age, the life that Allah has given to him, how he spent it in the youth. Specific question about the age in which you are young, how you spent it. And so Allah subhanahu will ask you, and knowing that Allah subhanahu asks you, being conscious of that, you have to be careful of how you use your time, and using it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, you know, how do we do things? There are so many obligations, you might say, so many things you can do in Islam. Okay, but what do we do? Well, what should I be doing more than anything else? Right? So the companion, that's what a companion came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Inna shara'il Islam qad kathurat alayna." He said, the obligations of Islam and the Sharia has increased upon us. It's a lot. So what can I do consistently, that will help me? What's something, just tell me, what's important? And so he said, "La yazalu lisanuka ratban min dhikrillahi azza wa jal." He said, make sure that your tongue is consistently remembering Allah. I mean, it should be wet in the remembrance of Allah all the time. Because this is something that is so easy, but we tend to forget. When you're driving, you can remember Allah. You can say, "La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah." And when you're driving, when you're in the queue, you can remember Allah. You don't need anything. You don't need anything. And when you remember Allah, it's not going to say, it's going to get me tired. I'm not going to be able to take my exams now. No, it will help you take your exams. It will help you do other things. Because when you take advantage of the time, most people don't realize that when a person takes advantage of the time that they have to worship Allah, Allah puts barakah in your time, puts blessing in your time. And you might say, "Why don't I have time?" It's because most of the time, it's because we're committing so many sins. Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentioned about himself that he used to read the Qur'an between Maghrib and Isha only, because he was so busy. The time that he spent reading, for that. He used to read, of course, just during regular hours and time. But the time that he usually he set for recitation of the Qur'an was between Maghrib and Isha. And he said, every 3 days I would finish the whole Qur'an. Every 3 days. And the only time, when you think about it, you say, the time between Maghrib and Isha is not much. Right? How much would you be able to read in 3 days between Maghrib and Isha only? How much? You would probably be able to just finish Surah Al-Baqarah, and if you're really good, you probably just finish Surah Ali Imran. I mean, you wouldn't be able to get near one-third of the Qur'an. How was he able to do it in 3 days? You might say. And by the way, he used to have like about 18 classes. You might think your classes are a lot. He used to study with 18 teachers a day. A day. You might say, "Well, how did he get all this time? And how was he able to finish the Qur'an in 3 days? Just between Maghrib and Isha?" When you really think about it, practically, it's impossible. How was he able to do it? Some of the scholars said because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the time that he had. And so when your time is blessed, that is when you can do more in a small amount of time. And that's when you just have a small amount, just a short amount of time, you can do a lot. And if your time is blessed, if the time that you have is blessed, you also benefit from that time that you have. And plus you will have more time because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more time. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to us, there are many ibadats and many things, acts of worship. If things are being too difficult for you, if you want to save time, the best way to save time is use your time for ibadah, and Allah will increase your time and put blessing in it. Fatima radiallahu anha, she came to her husband to tell him that the chores of the house are taking up all her time and she's tired. And so she asked for a maid. Said, "Can I have a maid to help out in the house?" And so the Prophet ﷺ heard about it and he said, "Tell her one thing. Tell her to come here. I'll tell her something that's even better than having a maid." He said, "Would you like me to show you something that's better than having a maid? Before you go to sleep, say Subhanallah 33 times. And say Alhamdulillah 33 times. And Allahu Akbar 33 times. And you will it will be better than a maid for you. So try this. And you think, "Oh man, I got so many things to do." Before you go to sleep, make sure you say this. And you'll see that the next day you'll get the energy and you won't be tired neither. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when a person goes to sleep, the shaitan ties 3 knots in the back of his head. When he wakes up at night time and remembers Allah, one knot is untied. When he wakes up and he remembers Allah and then he goes and makes wudu, then another knot is untied. And when he does it again, and when he prays, stands up to pray, then the third knot is tied. And he will wake up نَشِيطُ النَّفْسِ طَيِّبُ النَّفْسِ نَشِيطًا. He said he will wake up in the morning feeling good and full of energy. Feeling good and full of energy, and you'll be diligent also. You won't be lazy. But if you don't wake up, then the shaitan has urinated. If a person does not wake up, then the shaitan will urinate in that person's ear. What are we talking about? Not for Fajr. This is before Fajr, when you're waking up for Tahajjud. So this is the virtues of Tahajjud. If you do not wake up before Fajr and pray at least two rak'ahs, the shaitan urinates in that person's ear. And he will wake up khabith al-nafs kaslan. He will wake up feeling terrible. You know, for those who say, like, man, I'm not a morning person. Right? You know why you're not a morning person? Because you don't get up for Tahajjud. When you get up for Tahajjud, you will feel good. If you don't, the Prophet ﷺ said, he will get up khabith al-nafs. You feel terrible. It's like, oh, I feel terrible. Not only do you feel terrible, kaslan. And he will be lazy. When you want to do something, oh, let me just sit down and watch Manchester United. You know, like instead, la ilaha illallah. That's my time timer. So the duck, the lady, the fat lady didn't sing, the duck did. So so when you, the thing is, when you spend your time in the worship of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in your time. Try it. Try it and you will see. When you sit down to read the Qur'an, you're not wasting your time. You know how the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنَ قَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. Your wealth is not, does not decrease when you spend it in sadaqah. You might think it, you know, you have, maybe you have 10 pounds, you just gave 5, or got 5 left only. But you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah, and in essence, you will get more. It will be multiplied for you. The same way, when you spend your time in the worship of Allah, in doing that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not wasting your time. Your time does not decrease because of it. It will in fact increase for you. And that's why the great scholars of Islam, you might say, who has the time to sit down and memorize a million hadith? I mean, I don't even have time to sit down to read 100th of that. How do you have time to sit down to memorize that much? How? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah. That means, let's say you've spent it in the worship of Allah. Now you have a chemistry exam. So if you didn't spend it in the worship of Allah, you might sit down trying to memorize these charts and formulas. It might take you 3 hours. But because you spent it in the worship of Allah, Allah will decrease that time. You might memorize in 30 minutes the same time you would have done 3 hours if you didn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you actually save time by reading the Qur'an. And so take advantage of the time that we have before it is gone. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, إِنِّي أَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَرَى رَجُلٌ فَارِغًا فِي عَمَلِ الدُّنْيَا فَارِغًا لا في عمل الدنيا ولا آخرة. He said, I hate it when I see somebody, when I see a man just doing nothing. He doesn't do anything that benefits this dunya nor the hereafter. And Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, son of Adam, you are but the time that you have. When that time has passed, then a part of you is gone also. And it will never come back. That's the thing. It will never come back. And also, you don't know how much time you really have. You know, you don't know how much time you really have. And so that's why you should not procrastinate. The shaitan will try to make you procrastinate. And he will tell you, you know, you don't have to, it's okay, you're still young. After you get married, inshallah, then you start doing good. After you go make hajj, after you tire, after you make your payments, after you do this and after you do that. But you never know when death comes. And that's why thinking about death also, thinking that that death can come at any time, you also take advantage of the time that you have. And also being with good people, being with people who do not waste their time. Also, so look for people who do not waste their time. And reading about the scholars of Islam, of how they use their time also, will help a person. And before, when you go to sleep, reflect on the time, how you spent your day. Reflect upon it. Ask yourself, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. He said, hold yourself accountable before you're going to be accountable. You know, if you know that you're going to be accountable at the end of the year or at the end of the month, what happens? You're very careful to check if you did anything wrong, because you know you're going to be asked about it. So you check yourselves before you're being checked. Because you don't want them, you don't want to be all of a sudden startled and then you get checked. You know, like some of these, what do they call them? Maybe some companies, when they get audited by the government real quickly and they don't know when. So if they're always careful and they're always checking themselves, it doesn't matter what time they're audited. Because everything is always organized and in line. And so we have to check ourselves, because, you know, at any moment in time, it doesn't matter if you're still healthy. There are a lot of people out there that die in automobile accidents every day. And there are many healthy people who just die, wake up, they go to sleep and they just don't wake up. And so that's why I take advantage of the time. And this is our capital. This is the capital Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And it's very important. Don't be maghboon. Most of us, you know, you might think, well, that little kid got cheated. A lot of us, we cheat ourselves. We cheat ourselves. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, 2 rak'ahs of fajr, before fajr is more valuable than the whole world and whatever's in it. And when the people who die, they will want to come back and just do 2 rak'ahs. They will want to come back and just have the time that we have. But you know, we have that time right now. We have the time, we have what is so valuable that all the dead people in the grave, they want. Every single one of them, they want to be in our position right now. To do what? So that they can do good. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. They want to come back so that I can do good deeds for the time that has passed. So I can make up for that. But it's too late. It's too late. After death has already come. Everyone in the grave right now, in the whole world, they wish that they were one of us. Everyone. But we are that person, but we don't take advantage of it. Every one of us. They want to come back and do good deeds. But we have that opportunity right now. We're still alive. So take advantage of it and don't waste your time. Don't waste the time that we have, because it's so precious and it's so valuable. وجزاكم الله خير وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.